Ephesians chapter number 5. And in just a little while, we'll read several verses tonight. I appreciate the honor for my wife and I to be here. And while you're turning tonight, I'd love for my wife of 31 years to stand, if she will, please. And you can rest assured she's my first and only wife. Amen. If she ever leaves me, I'm going with her. I didn't figure that out. She's the mother of our three sons and the grandma of our two granddaughters. And I'm enjoying being Papaw. I am. I figured out that children are sinners and grandchildren are not. Amen. But we're glad to be here in the camp meeting. I appreciate Dr. Foote. When I think about Dr. Leon Foote, I think about an airplane. He got on one time. He's just going to stay on the ride, stay on the plane until it lands. And when it lands one day, it'll land at the banks of sweet deliverance. Amen. But it's an honor for us to be here. I'm humbled to be here. I'm not worthy to be here. Just quickly, my wife and I, we travel the country most of the time trying to be a blessing and a help to the small struggling churches in America, especially in the western states where independent fundamental Bible-believing churches are between 5 and 6 hours apart. So I feel like tonight I'm in the land of the giants, amen, and there's a lot of faces here. And I trust you preachers will pray for me tonight as if you were standing here yourself. Let's stand together tonight for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'd like to begin reading in verse number 18. Paul said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Our Heavenly Father, tonight in Jesus' name, I have much to be grateful for tonight. I'm grateful to be in this place. And Father, I need that tonight which I'm going to preach about. Father, I don't desire wildfire tonight. I pray for real power tonight. Oh God, tonight, please breathe on this place. Breathe on Brother Pollard tonight. Oh God, save the lost tonight. Oh God, reclaim the backslid tonight. Revive thy people tonight. Give us hunger tonight for the power of God. And Father, we'll thank you, Lord, for what you teach us tonight from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. This prison epistle that's known as the Book of Ephesians is dedicated to the subject of the body of Christ. Chapter number 1 tonight is the wealth of the body of Christ. Chapter number 2 is the workmanship of the body of Christ. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Chapter number 3 is the worship of the body of Christ. Now unto Him that is able, I'm glad tonight God is still able. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Chapter number 4 and chapter number 5 is the walk of the body of Christ. And chapter number 6 is the warfare of the body of Christ. Now, if we're going to be anything for God in our daily walk, we've got to follow the command tonight of Ephesians 5:18. To be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to say this tonight in the way of introduction, that just as much as it is a sin to be inebriated with Old Crow, to be inebriated to drink Bud Dumber or Miller Low Life, it is just as much a sin, believer in Christ tonight, to not be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We were indwelt with His Spirit at the time of our conversion. I'm glad for the workings of the high seraph of heaven before I ever got saved. It was the Holy Spirit of God that convicted me and drew me to the cross of Calvary and showed me my sinful condition, that I was a lost sinner, doomed and damned for a devil's hell, And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, in chapter number 12, verse 32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when the Holy Ghost of God draws you to the need of salvation in your life. I was converted by the Spirit of God. And it was the Spirit of God that baptized me and placed me into the body of Christ. Now, since that time, He dwells within my heart. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He is my teacher. He is my comforter. He is my counsel. He is my my character. He is my grace. Everything that I'm taught and I have is because of the third person that lives within our heart. There's one indwelling of the Spirit of God, but there are many fillings of the Spirit of God. I heard the men tonight, oh, what a glorious time in the power room tonight, amen. Pray and ask God for the power and the filling of the Spirit of God. I remember years ago as a young preacher, a lot younger than I am now, in my first pastor, Dr. Foote, we had Dr. Bobby Robertson with us in revival meeting. He pastors for over 50 years that little mission church in Walkertown, North Carolina, that runs about 3,500 in Sunday school. A man that only has a fifth grade education. He came and preached revival for us. One day I said, Brother Bobby, what meeting do I need to go to so I can be a successful servant of the Lord? Then I said, Brother Bobby, what book do I need to buy? What school do I need to endorse? And that dear man of God began to weep, began to cry, began to have agony in his soul. And he said, Brother Maynard, books are good. And we ought to give attendance to reading, amen. And we ought to go to every meeting that we can get in. We ought to can all we can get and get all we can, amen. But Brother Bobby, weeping his tears, said this. He said, Brother Maynard, years ago, there was an old preacher that came by gospel light by the name of B.B. Caldwell. And I asked B.B. Caldwell the same question that you have asked me. And he said, Brother Maynard, I take no credit for what gospel light is. I take no credit for what God has done there in Walkertown. I take no credit for what my children have ended up being. I take no credit. B.B. Caldwell said, Bobby Robertson. And Bobby Robertson said the same to this young preacher. The key to be used of God is to not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, listen to me tonight, dear friend. I want to preach tonight just a little while and probably conclude this tomorrow night. So all of you have got to come tomorrow night, amen. The blessed fillings of the Spirit of God. Have you ever thought about how it is when the power goes out? Well, there is no light. When the power goes out, there is no warmth. When the power goes out, there's got to be a substitute, something like a generator or something like that. When the power goes out, the food spoils. It affects the home. It affects the school. It affects the business. It affects the church. And it affects the community. I want to say this tonight. There's a lot of false fire, but we need tonight the real thing. Amen. The powerlessness of our days is affecting our home lives. It's affecting our churches. It's affecting the commerce of business. It's affecting the church. It's affecting our country. Could it be tonight that God is bringing judgment on our country because we have allowed the fire to go out? I ask this tonight. Could there be the reason there's very little evangelistic effort? It's because the power has gone out. Could it be tonight the reason there's such coldness in the church and there's not much food from the pulpit? Because the power of God is being grieved. You see, we can even look at the book of Ephesians tonight and see the ownership of the Spirit. We are sealed until the day of redemption. And the devil can't break that seal. One old preacher said this one time, if the devil could get my soul, he'd have to go through the blood of Christ to get it. And if the devil ever made a trip through the blood, he'd be a saved devil. Amen. There's the ownership of the Spirit. Ephesians talks about the oneness of the Spirit. Ephesians talks about the oppression against the Spirit. We're not to grieve the Holy Ghost of God. And then there's the outpouring of the Spirit in our text tonight. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm telling you tonight, it'll make a divine difference. And by the way, tonight, child of God, it's not just for a select group. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for the evangelist, the pastor, the missionary. It's not just for those that maybe have been saved certain length of time. It's not just for the old gray-haired deacon in the church. Oh, no, child of God. To be filled with the Spirit of God is an endless command that's given tonight that's available for every child of the living God. It'll make a difference. It'll make the difference in showing character or becoming a character. It's the difference in a man's confidence or living a life of doubt. Being filled with the Spirit is the difference in a life of consecration or carnality. It is the difference in being victorious or becoming a victim. It is the difference tonight in being an overcomer or being overcome. It's the difference tonight in having a sweet tongue or a bitter tongue. And by the way, being filled with the Spirit is not speaking in a new tongue. It's learning to control the one you got. It's the difference in unity and division. It's the difference in joy and happiness. Happiness revolves around happenings. But you can be fighting the devil by the acre and have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's the difference in soul winning and visitation. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Being a witness locally and a witness globally is controlled by the Spirit of the living God. Dr. Foote, I'll never forget, I wanted to give you an accolade tonight. I was a student in Calvary Baptist Bible College, and Dr. Foote's son John and daughter-in-law teaches in our school, and it was chapel one day, and Dr. Foote came and preached chapel. I mean, my soul, preached along these same lines and preached about witnessing the souls, getting souls on your heart. Brought me under conviction. I left the school that day, went down into a trailer park, knocked on the door down there, knew that a lady lived there that I used to pastor, and knew that she was away from God, and her husband was a drug addict. I'd knocked on that door many a time, and nobody would come to the door, and you knew that they were there. But that day, the Spirit of the Lord was doing His work before I ever got there. Went and knocked on that door, and Jerry come to the door, and he said, "Preacher Maynard, I am so glad you're here. I've not been able to rest. I've not been able to sleep. I've not been able to function. I just needed somebody to show how to get saved." Jerry got saved. saved. His wife Cheryl rededicated her life to the Lord. And they followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And they're still faithful members and workers of the Turner's Creek Baptist Church in Yadkin County, North Carolina. I'm telling you tonight, it's the difference in soul winning and visitation. It's the difference in holy boldness and human boisterousness. Being filled with the Spirit's not how high you can jump. It's not how fast you can run. Actually, when you're filled with the Spirit, it makes you feel so unworthy to have any dose of the power of the living God. It doesn't elevate us. It actually brings us down to realize that we are a complete zero without Him. Our son serves missionaries in the state of Wyoming. Before he ever went to Wyoming, when he was a young preacher himself, he called one day and he said, "Daddy, what is it to preach with the power?" Brother Pollard, he said, I just don't know what it is. Can you explain it to me, Daddy? I said, "Son, there's no way. It's a liberty. It's a freedom to be able to preach where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty." But I said, it's like the old country preacher that said this, "I knows when I got it, and I knows when I don't." And I said, "Son, I can't explain it to you." He went and preached in a church one night, and he called after the service. I never heard a voice. All I heard was, and I said, "I know what happened tonight, son. You felt that heavenly power in your preaching, didn't you?" And I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid tonight we have tried to do too much on the energies of the flesh. And we know what it is to be entertained. And we know what it is to be proper. But all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. It is the difference in meekness and pride. It is the difference in love and lust. It is the difference in walking in the Spirit or fulfilling the lust of the flesh. It is the difference in the enjoyments of marriage or the endurance of marriage. Now, compare, folks, it ain't time to pray yet. I guess you heard about the couple got married one time, and he thought that they went to the justice of the peace to get married. But after the way things turned out, he figured out he must have went to the Secretary of Defense. Y'all didn't get that. I'm going to move on. Amen. It is the difference in spiritual maturity and spiritual immaturity. Now get this one now, fundamentalists. Being filled with the Spirit is the difference in loving and praying for our enemies or becoming isolated from everyone. Now, we need this tonight. We need this tonight. Oh, I'm going to quit the church because that person done me wrong. Or I'm going to quit preaching because that preacher done me wrong. The real test of Christian character comes when you can love and pray for your enemies and call their name before God and love them in spite of what they've done to you. And the only way we'll be that way is to be dead to ourselves and full of the power of God. By the way, to be filled with the Spirit is to betray the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits, but fruit. All nine fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Devil. Thank you, but I'm going to read it from the Bible. Galatians 5:22. Take that, devil. I'm going to read it anyway. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It is the difference in the exciting Christian life or just merely existing. Being filled with the Spirit is the difference in being conformed to Christ or worldly living. Being filled with the Spirit is the difference in growing in grace or just becoming stagnant in the things of God. Being filled with the Spirit is the difference in a life of fruitful service or just occupying a position. What difference would it make in your Sunday school class? What difference would it make in the ladies' groups of the church? What difference would it make in the youth department? What difference would it make in the Christian school if we would just quit occupying a position and really get a burden to really do a work for God? It is the difference upon exalting self and exalting the Savior. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, quickly tonight, I've got 10 minutes. Let me get to my first point. All of that was just my introduction. First of all, tonight, we must think about this, a Spirit-filled lifestyle. You mean, Brother Maynard, that being filled with the Spirit is prevalent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 366 on leap year? Absolutely so. Spirit-filled lifestyle, number one, it has to do with a fatherly walk. Look at chapter number 5, book of Ephesians, verse number 2. A fatherly walk, we walk in compassion and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Paul said he walked in love. We not only walk in compassion, but we walk as children. Chapter number 5 and verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I thought about it in recent days, being up here in all this snow. I ain't been in no snow like this since I was a little boy. We used to have snows like this in North Carolina. But I thought about it just the other day, watching the footprints across the snow. It brought me back to my daddy, who's in heaven now. And I used to want to mimic my dad. I wanted to be just like Papa. When daddy would go out and into the garden out there and take his plow, and he would go down through there, he'd make footprints, just like you make footprints in the snow. As a little fellow, ladies and gentlemen, I'd go like this. You don't know how hard that is for a 51-year-old man. Then I want to get in that next. I want to get in that next print. I wanted to walk in Papa's footprints. Well, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we desire to walk as Christ walks. It's a walk of compassion. It's a walk as children. It's a walk of circumspection. Chapter 5 in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I imagine tonight we have a lot of military folk here. You know what it is to march. You know what it is to about face forward march. You know what it is to walk in cadence, walk in step, walk in unity, and walk under every command of the general. I want you to know tonight, child of God, when we're filled with the Spirit, it doesn't matter how we want to walk. We just want to walk like He wants us to walk. Oh, it's a fatherly walk. Notice next of all, it's a fleshless walk. Chapter number 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. It's a fleshless wall. It also, ladies and gentlemen, is a fruitful walk, bearing fruit for our wonderful Lord. Look at chapter 5, verse 9. You notice how all of this is in the context of the Scripture? We're not yanking something out, trying to develop something that's not right. We're taking it right from the context of the Scriptures. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, a fruitful walk. Hey, friend, it's a forsaking walk. When we're filled with the Spirit, we have no appetite for the things of the world. Look at verse 11 and 12. Paul says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Verse number 11 says we're not to be seen doing them. And verse number 12 says we're not even to speak of them. We are to remove ourselves from them, and we are to reprove ourselves from them. The only way there will be godliness, the only way that they'll ever be holy living, and the only way that we'll shine as lights in a mouth in a dead world, is we're going to have to die to this flesh and be filled with the Spirit of God. It's a fruitful walk, fatherly walk, fleshless walk. It's a forsaking walk, and it is a faithful walk. Chapter number 5, verse 16 has a lot to say. Our brother preached about it this afternoon, in essence, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. The seconds of time are passing because the severity of trouble is prevalent. The darker that America gets, the more we need to have the power of God in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing darkening days in America. All across the country, my wife meets people that are becoming suicidal, becoming drug addicts, alcoholics, having to be put, Brother Palmer, in mental institutions because they're living in fear. Could this be one of the greatest evangelistic opportunities that we could have as children of God in America? The only way we can be that light to win our lost friends and our lost family, our lost neighborhood, is to be filled. To be filled with the Spirit of God. No wonder Jonathan Edwards can stand and have to turn his back to the crowd and preach that wonderful message, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Monotone voice. And scores of people were saved because there was a man that had the breath of God in his life. I was just reading today, I love Baptist history, and being from North Carolina, in recent years, I learned of the organization of the First Baptist Church in North Carolina, Brother Pollard. November the 22nd, 1755, in Sandy Creek, North Carolina, under the ministry of a man by the name of Shubal Stearns. And Brother Pollard, Brother Foote, it was his brother-in-law that left that newly started church and started the First Baptist, Separate Baptist Church in the state of Georgia just several years after that. One man wrote in Shubal Stearns that it had been decades since they had seen a man that had such an essence of God in his face. An essence of God in his preaching. And it was because of that essence that that little congregation grew from 16 to 600 in a short length of time. We've got our programs. Thank God for them. We've got the tools. Thank God for the tools. But I'm telling you, in a day, you want to know what? And it's probably making somebody upset, and I'm not meaning to. The reason that the churches are going to different Bibles and going to the contemporary music is because they're looking for something that they think will excite them. We don't need to be entertained. We need the real thing. We need the power of God. We need His breath. We need His unction. Maybe tonight God would determine in our hearts, men of God, that we're never going to preach again unless we have His power. Maybe it could be that we could determine tonight that we'll never play instruments or sing again unless we've got His power. That we'll never go soul winning again until we know that we're experiencing that touch of the Lord. Oh, what a difference. Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll pick up where we left off tonight. We've seen a Spirit-filled lifestyle. Tomorrow night we'll look at a Spirit-filled love. And then look at a Spirit-filled labor by the grace of God. And then we'll take God's Word and find out how. Oh, how we can be filled with His wonderful power. Let's stand together tonight. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dr. Foote, you come and take the invitation tonight.